Thank the Lord this morning for His salvation. I'm oftentimes amazed at the authority of the poet or the authority that's given to people to write. And I feel like that song, "Someone Heard Something That Was Right." That was certainly a message in that song. Something to provoke our minds and provoke our spirits. And Lord, help me. It said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they come running to me." Quite a thought, isn't it? This morning, I have a thought that I'd like for the Lord to bless, of course. Pray for us. I want us to think a little bit about this morning, right now, the word enough. And I'm going to say it this way. Enough is enough. That's my thought. Enough is enough. The word enough means a sufficiency. A quantity of a thing which satisfies or is adequate. Enough is enough. The word enough means fully, completely, quiet, in the sense of that's quite enough. The word enough means plenty. And we've all heard it this way. Enough! It's an exclamation denoting sufficiency. You want some more food? Enough, enough. I think we understand this morning the little definition of the word enough. Ample supply and a full measure. I want us to talk this morning and think about your life and think about my life. Our past, our present, and our future. And look at ourselves and see if maybe the time is right to say enough. Enough. And exclaim to the one who hates us, enough. No more. Enough. I want us to read in 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 4. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us, for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Enough. A place that everyone regrettably has their conversation is in sin. Everyone has committed sin. All have come short of the glory of God. I want us to talk today about there's a time to say enough, and I'll serve you no more. Old devil, old Satan, old Pan. No longer will I submit myself to your whims, your jurisdictions, and your bondage. And I'll no longer allow you to control me because I'm going to be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Enough. resolutely declare in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, that's enough. I've kicked, I've warred, I've had my conversation, but it's enough. I've gone to bed at night worried about if I should die, what'll happen to me. I've seen the grave and I've been terrified of it. That's enough. That's enough. I had my conversation back there. I did your will. I told the lies. I smoked the cigarettes. I drank the liquor. I went and did and said and held grudges and hated and was prejudiced. Enough. It's made my life miserable. Uncertain, and death's a terror. Enough! Satan comes by and says, let me give you some more. Enough! I'm glad this morning to report that saying enough is not something that you and I say and grants us authority over the devil. But it is part of what needs to be done. We live in an era of time when it's just the opposite. The world is saying, pile my plate on, devil, I like what you got. Being deceived, being laughed at. But God is looking for a people who comes to a place to say, enough is enough. This word suffice in the Greek is also means the word, we could have translated it, enough. Your conversation in the past, your life in sin, that's enough. It suffices. You don't have to worry about doing it anymore. You've paid your debt. You've had your season. You've had your conversation. You had your rebellion. You had your anger. You had your jealousy, your lust, your greed. You had your disobedience. That's enough. That we come to a place that we, by God's grace and the blood, boldly say, that's enough. I'm tired of being afraid of death. I'm tired of not able to rest in the Lord. A couple of other translations, maybe three other translations that quotes this same scripture in the third verse. You have spent enough time in the past doing what the heathen likes to do. You spend enough time there. We need to come to a place, enough! I've got to get off this ship. It's sinking. You have spent enough time in the past doing what unbelievers like to do. We all have things we like to do. Saints and sinners alike. The bad thing is, unbelievers have no connection with God and respect to Him. Therefore, what they like to do is not ordered of God. It's enough. You've had your time back there. You've done what the unbeliever does. Where's it got you? What's it done for us? Has it made you a better husband, a better wife, a better child? Has it made your family stronger? Has it made life complete? Enough. Enough. There's a time and a season, the Bible said, for everything. Well, when Adam sinned, that brought in a season for all of mankind. Enough of that. That season's over with. You already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life. That's kind of down to earth and folksy. You've put your time in. Did you know the prison house is open this morning? Did you know the doors have been unshackled by the blood? Did you know that if you will, that prison can hold us no longer? I am free. It's ignorance of God. Satan likes people to be ignorant of God. Oh, yes. Takes a little knowledge of a few scriptures and builds whole movements on ignorance. Takes a little knowledge of a little scripture somewhere here and there and tells us, Satan takes a hold of that and makes us believe all kind of damnable things. God ignorant. We live in a God ignorant society. And regrettably, the majority, I believe, and I say this with fear, is willingly ignorant. There's one thing to be ignorant, there's another thing to be willingly ignorant. That's enough. It's enough of that. Maturation. That's a word I learned years ago. And the teacher who was teaching it said, in this vein it means when we come to a knowledge that we're ready to learn. You've seen the light bulbs go off in children, haven't you? You've seen a teenager all of a sudden, the light goes off and history becomes enjoyable. Reaches an age and a time in one's life when ignorance is not to be tolerated anymore. Maturation. A time that I begin to break the ignorance and say, enough, enough. Bibles on the shelves. Bibles under the closet, in the closets. Prayers, knees that have never been in prayer. Enough, enough. Lives that are lived. Hearts that are wounded and not repaired. Enough. Grudges that are held. Prejudices that are stored up. Enough. Lust that rules. Enough, enough. We've all had our conversation back there. We've all had a time. May I say to us, we've all paid our dues. So what I say to us today, I'm saying it right to myself. I was there. For 30 plus years, I was there. Don't tell me about sin. I was there. Okay? Albert Barnes, a commentator on the Bible, he said it this way, we have spent sufficient time in indulging ourselves and following our wicked propensities. We spent enough time at that. You don't owe it anything. We don't owe it any more time, any more consideration. I believe if people will be honest, and that is a very mature thing to be, by the way, we will gather that even though sin has a sensual and a fleshly pleasure for a season, it never works what we thought it was going to do. It always comes up short of meeting our expectations, and it always disappoints us. It always brings us to a place, not of exhilaration, but of condemnation. And it brings us to a place that when we begin to think about going out to meet God, it surely doesn't meet our expectations or our hopes. The vanity of it begins to expose itself in terms of eternal life and eternal judgment and judgment to come. There was a time when God once winked at the inadequacies that's in men. But now, he said in Acts, he commands us all to say enough. He says repent, but I say to us, he's commanding us to come to a stopping place. How long are you going to let it be protracted? How long are we going to let sin? How long are we going to let wrong reign till we die? Is that our intent this morning? Probably sinners, and I say that because this is the way I thought. I'm going to get right. Before I die, because I don't want to go to hell. Is that our thinking today? That one of these days I'm going to get right. May the Lord help us. How long are we going to protract our lifestyle away from God in God ignorance, as the writer said, interpretation? How long are we going to protract it? Are we going to say, 10 more years? You know, in 10 more years, some of us are going to be a little older. 10 more years, some of us are going to be dead. It's right here in this building. Who's going to be you? Who's going to be me? Hope it's none of us, but you going to be a little child? Is it going to be a teenager? I don't know. But I don't think I'd be wrong in speculating in 10 years, somebody right here, or maybe more, is going to be dead. How long are we going to let this insufficiency of grace? How long are we going to harbor ill will or anger or jealousy? How long are we going to keep an old attitude that's ruining us? Something to think about. God is asking us to say enough. Enough of this. Over in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel to shine upon them. The God of this world, the promoter of ignorance, the promoter of lies, has got a great sway today. And he's blinding our minds. You could say our heart and not do you injustice. But folks, we think with the mind. We reason with the mind. We do business with God in our mind. We say words as a result of thoughts in our minds. We act out according to impulses in our mind. There is so much ignorance and so much false information being put forth today. Maybe it always was, but today there's a superabundance of it. The God of this world is blinding. I'm tired enough. Sectism is rampant. All kind of ungodly doctrines are rampant. Don't we know today we've had our conversations there and that's enough? There's nothing to go back to, saint. There's nothing to go back to, child of God. Forward is the battle cry. This morning, wherever I may find myself before God, if there's something in me that is lacking, enough. Brothers come to see me Friday. And I was battling the word hope. I was trying to find hope and victory over these mind thoughts. We visited and they prayed and I prayed. It dawned on me, not in this exact word, but it's enough. Grace is sufficient for my mind. And one of them mentioned the word trust. Who do you trust in? Do we trust in our own faculties, our own abilities, do we trust in what the world tells us? Enough. Enough. The God of this world is blinded. Enough of that. Let's go to the light. Let's walk while we have the light. Let's run to the light. Songwriter that the sister sang the song about. My sheep hear my voice and they run to me. Oh, let's run to him. Enough of this Babylon and enough of this trying to amalgamate ourselves. I don't say this to anybody. I'm just saying in the mind of man. Trying to mesh ourselves with an ungodly world. God has still said, come out and be separate to his people. That means everything, folks. That doesn't mean just the pool hall and the dance rooms. That's more than that. This old world has a mindset. This old world has fear. This old world has ignorance. God said, come out of them, my people. Enough of that. Over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in the 24th verse. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Brother Jerry kind of spoke about that a while ago. Dealing with people, dealing with souls, we can't go to them and tell them everything we've ever heard. God doesn't do us that way. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach in patience, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, perhaps, or peradventure, if there's any way for God to break through, we must hold the line and teach the truth in patience and meekness. If God, perhaps, will give them patient repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, to break out of that old ignorance that the devil has captured people in, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 124th Psalm gives us a wonderful thought. It said, the snare is broken. My soul hath escaped. Isn't it time today for us to escape who are held captive at his will? And I don't mean that just to someone today that may not be saved. I mean that to us as the saint of God. Isn't it time we say enough to be being beaten by the devil if we are? Isn't it a time to break out of selfishness if we're in selfishness? Isn't it time to open up the liberalities of our possessions if we're hoarding God's merchandise? We're taken captive by this old world and what it puts emphasis on. Is it not time for the church, if we're there in some kind of unbelief, to say enough? Oh, we think that the sinner is captive. He is, she is, they are. But, oh, God help us, that same devil's trying to ensnare my mind. You're thinking. He's trying to cause you and me to be less than, to think less than of ourselves than we ought to think. He's causing us, or wanting us, rather, to believe lies about the truth. Isn't it time, if that's the case in my life or yours, to say enough? Isn't it a time? We've had our sufficiency back there. Have you ever doubted the truth? Think about it. I'm going to speculate that most of us have. Stipulate. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Most of us have doubted certain aspects. How did it make you feel? Did you say, I'm free? No, it gave you an uncomfortable, fearful feeling, most likely. Where am I going now? What's I'm going to do now? You know, the Lord wants you and me to tell the devil and ourselves, that's enough. I'll no longer doubt thee, O Lord. It's enough. Satan goes about trying to captivate just not only the sinner. He's got him. He wants to capture you and he wants to capture me. He wants us to think that the isms of the land have equal standing, the hills out there of sectism and all the unbelief that's out there in sectism is right up alongside the mountain of the Lord. No, enough of that. I don't want to hear any more of that. Enough. You see what I'm saying this morning? It's time for us, whoever we are, wherever we may be, to say enough. I'll just no longer tolerate it by the grace of God. I'll stand against it by the word of God. Knowing that the snare is broken. The snare is broken. Jesus Christ, the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the 2nd or 3rd chapter of Luke, 4th chapter there somewhere right in the first part of Luke, he said, now is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, the recovering of sight to the blind. Thank the Lord that a time of recovery, a time of beauty for ashes, are here now, and enough. I want to go to Romans, the 13th chapter. Oh, listen, I've been there. I've done that. And as a saint, I've had to repent, folks, too. As a child of God, I've had to say, Lord, forgive me. Help me over my weakness. Help me over my insecurity. Help me over my fear. Father, I have prejudices against something. Lord, rebuke that presence. That, say it for me. Prejudice, thank you. Rebuke that. Enough of that. Songwriter said, sin made all my life so miserable. Folks, anything outside of God has got a word tagged on to it. And Satan has got it covered up, but the word is there. And it's called misery. Okay? Romans, the 13th chapter, and 11. 13 and 11 of Romans. And that knowing the time that now is high time. Not just time. It's saying to me, it's past time. It's high time. It's time to set up and take notice. It's time, you know, when I was a boy and it speaks about, let me read the rest of this. High time to awake out of sleep. You remember being a child? I don't know how lenient your parents were. Mine were rather lenient. And start waking me up to go to school. And consequently, I was a little lenient on my boys, too. Getting them up going to school. So you say, come on now, it's time to go. Well, after a while, you kind of learn that Daddy wakes you up 30 minutes too early. Because he gets up 2 hours before you. So you lay there and you flop over. But after a while, you know now, the clock on the inside, it's high time I got up and got out of here. Now I'm going to be late and miss breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. High time. You've procrastinated. You put it off. You catnapped. You got your 40 extra winks. You've had your conversation there now. It's enough of that. It's high time for us to get out of there. We understand that, don't we? Put off paying the bills. Here's one I do. Put off paying my income tax. Every year I say I'm going to do better. I'm saying again this year, I'm going to do better. Now we're up here at March 1st. It's high time we awake, saints. It's high time, sinner friend, if you're not saved today, it's a time to wake, high time to wake out of your slumber. What if the Lord would come and catch me with bitterness in my heart? What if the Lord would come and find unforgiveness in you? Prejudice, angers, jealousies, pouting, selfishness. What if He comes and finds sin in your life? Would you not say, not high time, it's past time. So I'm saying to us today, it's high time we awake out of our slumber. Paul said that, God said that. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Enough of darkness. I've sat in this dark room. As long as there's a light over there, I'm going to go turn that light switch on. There's windows. I'm going to go raise the windows. There's skylights. I'm going to open the skylights. Enough of this darkness. Oh, may the Lord help us today to realize it's time, it's high time to cast off any imposition of the devil. It's time to cast off any unbelief, any darkness. Enough of the unbelief. Enough of the darkness. Enough of the Bible staying on the shelf. Enough of that. Enough of praying when it's convenient or when we're in a tight spot. Enough of that. I want to pray always. There's enough of the putting off doing God's business. There's enough of not responding and running when the shepherd says and calls our name. The enough of the fields being white and the laborers being few. There's enough of that. We don't need any more of that, folks. We need dedicated people to say, enough of me waiting for the opportunity. He said, now is the day. Now is the time. Enough of this saying, well, one of these days I'm going to be something for God. One of these days I'm going to turn over a new leaf. One of these days I'm going to start doing what God really wants me to do. One of these days I'm going to go visit that lady across the street. One of these days I'm going to write that letter. One of these days when I get all my finances in a row, then I'm going to start giving to the work of the Lord. Folks, that's enough of that. It's high time we awake out of that lethargic condition. It's high time we recognize, folks, there's myriads of things you and me can be doing. There's people. There's works. There's labors that we can be doing. It's time we woke out of that. It's not for a man to tell you what to do, but it's for us to hear the voice of the Almighty and come running at His call. Sometimes people hide from God. Sometimes we say, that's not my business. It is our business, folks. God's work is our business. You may not be right in there doing the actual physical ministering in some way, but you should be on your knees praying for God's people everywhere. You should be searching your heart and seeing if there's anything in you that's turning away the blessings of the Lord. It's time to wake up. It's time because now is our salvation nearer than when we started. We need to wake up. I'm not saying that you, and I'm not saying the church is asleep, but I'm saying if we are asleep, it's time. Enough of the catnapping. Enough of the saying tomorrow. Remember the song? Little love song or little lonesome heart song we heard when I was... The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, I don't doubt someone's intentions. They're good ones. But folks, we got to put it into practice. We got to... Enough of this leaving it on the back burner. Over in Luke, I want to read there a moment. You see, the Lord sent in His messengers, gave His messengers, one of the things they preached, and Paul preached it to Felix, I believe it was, of judgment to come. Now, judgment to come was not new with Paul. Christ spoke about judgment to come. Luke 21 and 34 and 35. There was a lot of controversies then, as there are now, about certain things. End of time, end of the destruction of Jerusalem. I'm convinced that they are interwoven together. One may be symbolic of the other. But here's what Christ said in Luke 21 and 34. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. I'm going to use that day today as the judgment of the Lord. And what He's saying, enough of this pretending. Enough of this hypocrisy, if it's there in your life. Enough of this saying and not doing. Enough of the vain promises and enough of the good intentions. If they're there. Enough of that. I need to look at myself and say, have I built a wall of pretense? Have I built a wall of going to? When I was a boy, my mother, she could cut through me and get down to where I live. And I had a little saying. Stanley, I want you to go pick up your shoes. I'm fixing to. Stanley, go in there and wash those dishes. I'm fixing to. Maybe she'd say it again. I told you to go pick up your shoes. I'm fixing to. I had a fixing to for everything, folks. After about the second or third fixing to, my mama would say to me, what have you got to fix? As if to call my attention that I was just making excuses. Folks, we might be saying right now, I'm fixing to. I'm fixing to get saved. I'm fixing to do the Lord's will. I'm fixing this. I'm going to fix up. I'm fixing to start being more assertive in my testimony. I'm fixing to start praying. I'm fixing to... What do we got to fix? It's time now. It's time. The day is far spent. Some of us are not chickens anymore. No? We're getting old enough now, our hair is beautifully turning silver. Graciously, I hope. The day is far spent. What do we got to fix? How long are we going to protract this thing, as I said earlier? So we need to take heed, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with all these things. For For as a snare, it'll come up on us. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. Destruction of Jerusalem is a good example, but there's coming something greater than the destruction of Jerusalem, and that's judgment to come. Because He's appointed a day whereby He will judge this whole world by the man He appointed, Jesus Christ. So the sheep hear His voice and they come running, the songwriter said. May God, again, oh Lord, help us today. Enough now of this. I'd like to consider a moment some good news. What I've just said is the gospel, so it's good news. But let's take another dimension of good news. Hebrews, the second chapter, the ninth verse. Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Praise the Lord. The price has now been paid. The redemption has been accomplished. Someone greater than the strong man who bound us and kept us has arrived. The snare has been broken, and we can escape, and our souls can be free. Someone appointed of God Himself, sent by God Himself, the very Son of God, has come to taste death and separation, if you will, from God for every one of us. Now we might have a hope that is set before us. Let's go down now to the 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. For this purpose, John writes, was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. We no longer have to willingly or unwillingly be led captive at His will. This is the good news now. You no longer have to say, I can't get out. You no longer can say, oh, I just don't have the grace to forgive. You can no longer say, oh, I just have these things I was taught as a child and my prejudices there just go with me everywhere I go. You can no longer claim ignorance. You can no longer claim that there's no power now. The power of the snare of the devil has been broken through Jesus Christ. We can look boldly up into the Lord and say, Lord, I want to say enough to sin. I want to say enough to carnality. I want to say enough to laziness. I want to say enough to selfishness. I want to boldly say, Lord, I want to follow You wheresoever You may lead me. I want to go with You now. He said, the power and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. Praise the Lord this morning that He has come down now and made a way where we can actually say enough. I don't know about you, but I made my vows as a sinner. I don't know about you, but I made my boast that I'm not going to do that anymore. Have you ever done that? Probably most of us have to some degree or another. I think, and I don't want to, hoping I don't embarrass anyone, I think of an alcoholic, known a few. And I've known enough of them, or a few of them, to know that they generally, genuinely regretted their condition. And I've seen them many times say, I'll not do it anymore. Check on them in a couple of weeks, they don't even know where they are. I'm not making fun of that. Pitiful, and I feel so sorry for them. I'm using that as an illustration to say, human resolve is not enough. But God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, is enough. That we now can escape because He broke the snare. Not us. And not our own power. Not our own life. There's a scripture over, here's some more good news. I want you to read with me briefly over in Isaiah, the 11th chapter. 1-10. We won't read all of that. But here's the part I want to begin with. And there, 11th chapter of Isaiah, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, that was David's father, and a branch, capitalized, that's Jesus Christ, shall grow out of his roots. We know that Jesus Christ was of the lineage of David in the flesh. I want to go down a little bit further now. In the 10th verse. And in that day, this by all accounts means the gospel day. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. A few definitions briefly. Gentile represents the unbeliever, the heathen, the sinner, the unrighteous. And this that comes as an ensign will have an appeal to the prisoner and an appeal to those who are full of the ashes of sin and the blindness of sin. And he said the Gentiles, the unbeliever, the sinner, will see in this root of David, root of Jesse, a hope. And he'd be an ensign. Now this word ensign is important because it's carried over into the New Testament. We're going to read that. An ensign is something in this case that is lifted up. Something that is set on high. It's a standard, if you will. A flag standard. A flag pole. A signal pole. It is something lifted up, and that which is lifted up on the pole is the ensign. The ensign is a rallying point. Okay? So, out of God's plan, there comes one that those of us who have been long captured in the weakness of the flesh can now find a hope to say, it's enough. Now is salvation real and possible. Okay? And he said in this one, his rest would be glorious, meaning rich. His rest would be abundant. One thing about sin, it doesn't bring a lot of soul rest, any. Brings very little physical rest. Honorable, this word, glorious. Dignity, and it brings splendor. In the first chapter, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. That's that ensign now. Full of grace. Full of glory. Splendored. Splendor radiating from him in his majestic glory. And he says, I'll give you rest. Now let's go on. John, the 3rd chapter. Enough is enough. Now we've got an ensign. Now we've got a standard. Now we've got a rallying point. It's not every man to his own tent. Every man to his own thinking. No, there's a standard. And Jesus Christ is that. Listen to what he said now, this ensign. John 3 and 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, what do you remember about that? Do you remember there was a time when Israel sinned and was plagued by serpents? And they weren't little green garter snakes. They were poisonous snakes. And they were infested with these things. And people were dying because they were getting bitten. And do you remember the Lord had Moses, Aaron, to construct a brazen serpent and put it on a pole? You remember that? And if you were bitten, if you looked up, there's a lot of things we could say about that. And I don't understand near all of it. But it was something for them to do when they got bit. Folks, there's something for us to do when the snake of sin bites us. We can say enough of this. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Lifting up of Jesus in these contexts have been taken out of context. He's speaking here about him being lifted up from the earth on a cross. He became the ensign. He became the point where I can go and be washed in His blood and say, praise God, enough is enough. I am free. Now I'm free from every fetter. Sin shackles can hold me no longer. I'm free. I'm awake and I'm alive to God. I'm alive to Christ. His rest has become glorious to me now. Now, let's read on a little bit in John. Listen to what he said. This is what we need, folks. This is what God wants for the world. This is what God wants for the church. That you and me come to a place that I can boldly say enough of this. Tired of my fears and my doubts and my innuendos. I'm tired of the suspicion I have. I'm tired of the way I think about other people. I'm tired of me giving excuses for myself. Enough of this. Enough of this. I'm tired of it. Oh, it's making my life so weary. It's making me mistrust people. It's making me just not want to go to service. It's making me not want to read the Bible. It's causing me to want to lean out towards sin a little bit. Enough of that. We've got a way now that we can say enough with boldness and strength. 12th chapter of John in the 31st verse. Now is the judgment, make sure I'm right, 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Praise God, and praise God again. The devil has been defeated. He said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. Praise God, there is an ensign. Praise God, there is a standard. He is the root of Jesse, the root of David, but He is the Son of God who gave His life for our sins, that no longer would I have to be bound in sin, bound in fleshly appetites, bound in those things that are separating me from the joy of the Lord. No longer do I have to be bound by my mind and my spirit being taken captive at the will of the devil. God has lifted up His Son. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's a glorious rest, a glorious peace, a glorious joy. Oh, this morning He's been lifted up. Now let's rally to Him. My sheep run to me, the songwriter said. Oh, this morning that we run to Jesus. Saints, run to Jesus. Backslider, run to Jesus. Sinner, run to Jesus. If you're tired, if it's enough of what you're going through, your mind's all muddled and estranged, and oh, if you're fearful and unbelieving, oh, if you're just not able to consecrate this morning, the standard is Jesus Christ. Run to Him. We can say, enough, enough, enough. I've served you long enough. I don't have any more desire to serve you. Yeah, but you tried so many times to get out of my clutches and look at you now. Yes, but I see something now. I see the ensign. I see the cross. I see the blood. I see the resurrected Lord. I see the hope of the gospel. I see the promises. I know now you're defeated. I know now that I can be alive through God in Christ. Oh, this morning, we don't have to no longer be timidity to tell the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. It's enough of that timidity. God help us to be bold and not in ourselves, God forbid. Bold in the Lord. Bold in the power of His might. He said, if I be lifted up, I want to tell you what God is doing right now with Jesus Christ. He's drawn every one of us to Him. You may be the epitome of a saint. Good. Praise God. God is drawing you to Him through the cross of Jesus Christ. There's still a place for you to draw closer. Some of us, somewhere along the way, we got saved. God is still drawing us closer, my child, to me. You may be a sinner. You may be backslidden. And all the things that you do, you're wanting to say, it's enough. I've done it long enough. God is drawing us. Drawing you from the old rugged cross. The ensign has been, the standard has been lifted up. Come unto me now, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's what sin will do. That's what laziness will do. Have you ever noticed laziness begets laziness? Take that little thought, will you, and think about it, son. Laziness begets laziness. Did you know, as a congregation, and I'm not spanking us or fussing, laziness is contagious? And did you know that energy is contagious? Did you know liberty can be contagious also? But do you know if I'm spiritually labeled lazy, it can be contagious to you. If I come in this building, I'm thinking about physically coming into this place. Two-thirds of us, three-fourths of us are lazy. Those that have a little energy, they're going to be attacked by the laziness. Enough! Praise God, we can say enough, folks. I don't care where we are and what capacity we are, we can say enough to that old thing that's got a lasso around us and tugging us back. I don't care, and I don't mean this ugly. I'm just saying it's enough. We're free, folks, because there's an ensign. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'm going to ask us this morning. No, I want to read you the words of a psalm. The first verse in the chorus. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. And he whispers, draw closer to me. Leave the world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find. This morning, do you hear that voice calling? Preachers, do we hear that voice calling us? Song leaders, prayer warriors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, laity, sinners, backsliders, children, old, young, teenagers, sick, well, moms, dads, grandmas and grandpas, whoever else I left out. Do we hear this morning that voice calling us? Calling us from the standard of the cross. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Telling me that there's new heights that I can find as a Christian. Telling me that I can say enough, enough to the chains, to the emotions, and to the things that bind me to this earth. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Wow. I sing that sometimes with my head down. Heard it sung a few times. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'm willing to do. The unique thing about it is, folks, Jesus paid it all. You know what we need to do? Is be drawn to Him and humble ourselves. And say, enough. Enough of the man I am. Enough of the woman I am. Enough of what I think. Enough of sin. Enough to the bondage and to the fear. So this morning, my little message is, enough is enough. Pray for me.